The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this 18th day of September. Welcome. Come on in. Plenty going on. Do you think? Welcome, welcome. Phone lines open at 866-660-5759. Last night, an NFL game where nobody kneeled. So I watched a little bit of it. It was great. I would love to have the same experience with the Cowboys. It's up to them. It's up to Jerry. It's up to them. We will learn here in just a couple of days on Sunday afternoon at noon at home whether the Dallas Cowboys are interested in you watching them. They may reveal with one simple gesture that they are not. We'll talk about that, other things in the news, all kinds of stuff going on. Now, you know, we're moments away from our end-of-the-week exercise here. And musically, it's always fun at the top of each hour. And you're familiar with the one-hit wonder, right? The one-hit wonder is an act that has one hit that you're familiar with. And sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's really cheesy, memorable for one song. There is a doctoral dissertation on this, the one-and-a-half-hit wonder. A band that has one record that everybody knows, but there's another one that you might sort of know, but nobody plays anymore. I found one of those, and we're going to have a little fun with it as we make our second declaration of the morning that it's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good. I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. I would not. So good. So good. I got to hear.
Okay, you totally know this band from 1981. They had one hit that remains iconic. But after that record ran its course, this was on the radio in like early 82. And I tripped over it the other day, and it's wonderful. Now, who the heck is it? Has kind of a Pat Benatar feel? Nope. Maybe Scandal and Patti Smyth? Nope. Three guesses. Want a clue? The young lady out front plays the saxophone. Her name. Her name is Rindy, as in Orinda, Rindy Ross. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Quarter Flash. Well, there you go. Remember Harden My Heart? What a wonderful record this was. So the one-and-a-half hit wonder. This was the hit. But I don't know. I was on like 80s shuffle or something like that and found Find Another Fool. And I just thought, man, that is a fantastic song. I need to roll that out on Friday. So, boom, there you go. Probably ought to do some Hendrix next hour, because let's not bury the lead. Old Dale shared with us. And do I need to start doing death anniversaries now, too? We always do musical birthdays. But when they're this iconic, I guess so. Jimi Hendrix dying. Barbiturates will do that to you. 50 years ago today, and then remembering 1970, turn around October 4th, 50th anniversary. That'll be the 50th anniversary of the death of Janis Joplin. Both of them, of course, in the famous 27 Club. People who made it to that age and took the exit ramp. All right, let me take the path towards your calls. I got a bunch of stuff in my head, but folks have been waiting during the news, so let's talk to some of them. 866-660-5759, and we are in Mansfield. Tony, welcome. Happy Friday. How are you?
How you doing, Mark?
Good.
Yes, this is about the Cowboys and the kneeling situation. Mm-hmm. And I've listened you a lot in the past. Mm-hmm. And I also go by this slogan. I also use this a lot of times when talking to people. You always talk about compartmentalizing when it comes to actors mm-hmm. and musicians that don't maybe, think the same way you do. Mm-hmm. But so what's the difference on this issue with the Cowboys kneeling? Like, can't you get past that and still watch the game?
Great question. Because I have, for those unfamiliar, Tony listens to the show. I have many, many times, listen, all the musical stuff I play, the movies I watch, the stuff I consume, if I consumed only those things from people whose politics I agreed with, I'd never listen or watch hardly anything. Such is the culture. So in order to consume anything, you compartmentalize, you listen to an Eagles album, you know, you watch a movie with anybody in Hollywood who's working. You respect, you just know that they probably hate Trump. It is only the ones who beat me to death telling me so that I just can't consume their work anymore. I'm done with De Niro. There are a couple of other folks I could mention. It's really only a few who are out there with virulent hatred every single day. They did an odd thing last night on Facebook Live, raising money for some charity, had a bunch of people sitting around doing a table read, essentially a bunch of actors reading the script from the 1982 film classic Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So there's Julia Roberts, there's Jennifer Aniston, there's Brad Pitt, there was Jimmy Kimmel, who makes me nuts lately, there was Morgan Freeman, there was Dane Cook, there was Shia LaBeouf. And it was kind of cool. And it's like, what? But of those folks, is there anybody out there who's just beating me to death in their public life every day, telling me how much they hate Trump? You know, not really. Even Sean Penn has calmed down of late. So that's the compartmentalization I can do through most of the culture, so that I can see a lot of great movies, enjoy a lot of great music without having a crisis of conscience. Now, to answer your question, showing public disrespect for the national anthem at an understood time of unity is an act of such egregious bad taste, is such an affront to the patriotic sensibilities of any American that I am instantly done, instantly out. So I guess, let me give it back to you and see if that makes sense. I guess there are certain levels of degree. I mean, there are plenty of athletes. I know LeBron is a flaming lib every day, and I don't care, whatever. Athletes tend to be young people. A lot of them tend to be young black people. They're not, how many conservatives are you going to have? Not many. But I'm going to watch sports at times that they're not insulting my flag and doing horrifically egregious race baiting. So it's only when the behavior gets to be of a particularly noxious, particularly incendiary level that's going to drive me away. How's that sound?
Oh, this sounds good. And I have, and of course, musically, I'm a pretty big Pearl Jam fan, but I've about had it with, their politics,
So let me ask you, does Eddie Vedder, is he out there, and I haven't, paid as much attention of late, is Eddie Vedder and Stone Gossard out there, brutalizing Trump every day? Are they doing, well, nobody's on stage anymore, but, is... Really?
I feel like they have been. I don't have any,
I don't know. They have a new album out that's pretty good. Whatever. Because I'll tell you, if you're, and by the way, everyone can set their bar wherever they like. There are people who, I don't know. Let's say Neil Young. I love me some Neil Young. Neil Young wrote an entire album. I think it was called Living with War, that's just filled with hatred of war and nasty things about Bush and Cheney and whatever. I don't spend a lot of time listening to that, but I will tell you this, if you go see Neil Young, and please God, let us get out and see people again, Oak Ridge Boys coming next week, and Richard Sturban of the Oaks joins us 9:35, there's the plug. They don't spend a whole lot of time on stage. Everybody can have their bar. That's mine. Much appreciated. Now, I'll tell you what. Here's a guy who doesn't spend a lot of time beating you to death with politics on stage, doesn't spend a lot of time, cranking out music that is particularly politically incendiary. In fact, there's a kind of a unifying working class imagery to his work that I've rather enjoyed for most of my life. But he did one thing. He did one thing, and I've been out ever since. That would be The Boss. Haven't heard any Springsteen in a few years around here, have you? Nope. Nor will you. Might get over it at some point. I don't know. Don't want to. Now, what was Bruce's offense? It was. And it's kind of funny. A lot of times it'll be something that strikes me, that deeply offends me, that lights me up. This was a show of absolute derision and disregard for his actual fans in the state of North Carolina. The so-called Boss, some years ago, pulled out of shows in North Carolina. You know why? Because North Carolina dared to have laws on the books that honored what both God and science define as male and female. North Carolina refused to get on board. It was all, it seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? All the bathroom bills, the legislation that sought to keep dudes from following your daughter into a ladies' room. North Carolina was one of those states, and Springsteen pulled out of concerts in those states. Now, if Springsteen takes to the stage in Greensboro or Charlotte or Raleigh or whatever, and somewhere between Born to Run and 10th Avenue Freeze Out, goes on a little rant about how he thinks, a dude ought to follow your daughter into the bathroom. Whatever. Like it, don't like it, whatever. But to cancel concerts? Oh, no. To suddenly punish the evil state of North Carolina as if it's like not playing South Africa in the era of apartheid? No. So that was an act, a single act of such stunning disregard for fans and such poisonous virtue signaling that I, on that point, said, I think I'm done with this guy. I think I am. And I've seen Springsteen 5 times in every single one. He's the soundtrack of, Lord knows, the soundtrack of my college life. I'm at the University of Maryland, right? Here's my old joke. Every state has a university of, right? Every state. University of Maryland, where I went. University of Texas. University of Wyoming. University of Delaware. University of Wisconsin. Every state has a university of, right? Except one. What is it? New Jersey. There is no UNJ. There's no University of New Jersey. Ah, but wait. Yes, there is. It's the University of Maryland at College Park. Because when I'm there from 75 to 79, I couldn't find any other suburban D.C. kids like me. Everybody was from Jersey. Everybody was from Nutley and East Orange and Passaic. And every dorm room window was just layer upon layer of Born to Run, The Wild, The Innocent, The East Street Shuffle, Darkness on the Edge of Town, those great early Springsteen albums. So this is stuff that's baked into my life and my history. I'm done for that. So everybody can have their own rules. That's mine. 822 866-660-5759. Now, what might Jerry do to keep Cowboys from kneeling? Tell you what the plan should be. Describe it, and then we'll see if we think it's going to happen next. Mark Davis, 822. If 6 was not, I don't care. On the 50th anniversary of the death of Jimi Hendrix. Oh, my gosh. I already made a note. October 4th is a weekend, so maybe going into that weekend I'll do a little Janis Joplin on the 50th anniversary of her loss. All right, well, the Cowboys lose who knows how many fans with a knee hitting the turf. Here is the deal. You ready? Here's what you do. Jerry made reference to this. He actually did this a couple of years ago, some exercise, some something. If they there's something they want to do, some social justice gesture, go ahead, do it, whatever. Some kneeling moment, some moment of silence, some song they want to do, that's fine. As long as after that, everyone stands for the national anthem and we don't have to experience the sad spectacle that we saw in the road opener at Los Angeles, where 12 of the Rams took a knee. That's their team. That's their knees, whatever. America's team needs to aspire to higher. If Jerry Jones has a spine in his back, it will be made clear. And maybe it doesn't have to come in the form of an edict or some authoritarian rant. That's not Jerry's style anyway. But just an agreement, if you will, that says, look, we're going to have a moment. We're going to let you guys have a gesture to reflect or express whatever you seek to reflect or express. But when that anthem plays and 25,000 Cowboy fans are standing there saluting our flag, singing the anthem, or just listening or quietly contemplating this magnificent nation, not one Dallas Cowboy knee will be on the ground. Deal? And if that is not a deal this team is willing to strike, then I will not burden my Sundays with watching them. That is the deal I have struck with them. I pray they do the right thing. 8:31, into the newsroom we go. 866-660-5759. Congressman Roger Williams on congressional stuff and some issues in the news next. And your calls always at 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 8:31. Gordon Griffin's in the newsroom.
Well, it's a darn good life, and it's kind of funny how the Lord made the bee, and the bee made the honey, and the honey bee looking for a home, and they called it a honeycomb.
A few days ago, we had Jimmy Rogers' birthday, the Jimmy Rogers that is like the father of 20th century country music. Not to be confused with this Jimmy Rogers.
Won't you be my baby? Well, a honeycomb.
This Jimmy Rogers is still alive. He's 87. 1957. Honeycomb. All righty. Let us roll to, I bet that might have been in the soundtrack. I'm not sure. Congressman Roger Williams. You got a little memory of some Jimmy Rogers there, buddy?
I love Jimmy Rogers. I wish you'd keep playing that song.
Well, I tell you, I may have time to crank out another Jimmy Rogers favorite. He is alive and 87 today. It is great to have Congressman Roger Williams from Texas 25th District. All right, speaking of things that are either alive or not, what is the status of some level of coronavirus relief package?
Well, that's a great, you know, we've got to have it. The problem is the speaker is keeping it from coming on, from talking about it. I mean, you know, she's got a plan. I think it's about $4 trillion. The president's offered around a little bit over $1 trillion. He's willing to negotiate. She's not. And so what happens is Main Street America and the economy and people worried about layoffs are just at a standstill because of her inability to bring something up, because at the end of the day, the president's going to be the winner. And that, as we know, we got an election. And right now they're really concerned, the other side, about him getting credit for anything. So I don't know. I hope we go back Monday, Mark, that we can come to some sort of agreement. And that's what we need to do.
And in the meantime, what is the status? I mean, we talk every couple of weeks. I'm always grateful. What are you and your colleagues doing? What is congressional life like? I mean, some of it's pandemic constrained. Some of it is politically constrained. It seems like the Democrats don't want to solve any problem. They just want to run on the angst of those problems. So what's, between now and the election, how much time are you guys even going to be spending in session doing things like you normally do?
Well, actually we came in last night. We go back Monday. We'll be in session next week, part of the following week, 2 days in October, and then we're done. So business has to get taken care of pretty quick here. And we don't forget September 30th is the proverbial day where the government runs out of money. So we've got to fix that. So between the running out of money, coming up with a corona program that one side doesn't want to even talk about, that's kind of what we're doing. And frankly, we're not. It's kind of like running in place on a treadmill. It's very, very frustrating. But hopefully we'll get something done this next week that all sides will come together and get serious about it.
Are we, when we come down to September 30th, I mean, we'll be really in the home stretch of the campaign by then. A lot of things going on to distract us, but are we going to have conversations then over debt limit and kicking the can down the road and the usual budgetary exercise that we have?
It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a continuing resolution. That's the worst way to run any business.
Yep.
Because as you know, Mark, what you're saying is let's just spend what we spent last year. Well, last year drove us trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. So you're doing the same thing. I got to look at it. You know, I mean, we need to, they want a clean CR. So that cuts out Corona. That cuts out airlines. That cuts out Save Our Stages that I'm very much involved in. So we'll see what happens. Unfortunately, in Washington, things come down to the midnight hour when you get things done. So hopefully that'll get there quicker than later.
Let's you invoked it, and I hear it every once in a while. Let's talk a little bit about Save Our Stages. It's a hashtag. It's an initiative. It's a way to somehow try to do something for the live performance venues. We talk a lot about bars, and properly so. They're dying on the vine. But you talk about people that can't do anything. It's the people who are in the business usually of welcoming musical acts to stages and having human beings show up and pay to see them.
Well, there's no question about it. The reason I'm promoting this is because, number one, I'm a job creator, as everybody is. We need more people back work again. It has to do with, you know, our everyday life. We love going to hear great music. But at the same time, you know, this will keep business open. And it's bipartisan, Mark, for crying out loud. I mean, we got hundreds of signatures on this. Chuck Schumer's even for this. Cornyn's sponsoring it in the Senate. I'm sponsoring it with a Democratic colleague. And we got to get it on the floor. That's one thing we could do, for example, to save an industry, save jobs. But, you know, we're struggling to get it out so we can vote on the doggone thing. So hopefully that'll get done this next week. But we'll see. But when you think when you got Schumer, when you got Republicans, you got Democrats, that's one thing we could do.
I would think. So speaking of money and how it is spent in this campaign season, I saw a blurb that the National Republican Congressional Committee, the NRCC, that takes in a bunch of money and then doles it out as it sees fit into certain races. I've seen some DFW set-aside money. I hope that some of that is to help Genevieve Collins return Texas 32 to Republican hands and bring Colin Allred back into private life. Some of it is to help Beth Van Dyne keep the Kenny Marchant 24th District, keep that red. What do you know about what the NRCC is going to be doing for folks in our area?
Well, the NRCC does a great job, and this is the first time in many years that Texas has had some really close races. You know, all of our races are going to be close, and so Texas is on the radar screen, and the NRCC is, as we say, playing in Texas to those candidates you just talked about to make sure we keep and we gain seats. So the funding is going to be there. Unfortunately, this is a sport that's money-driven in many cases, and I think because of a lot of support from conservatives around the country and in Texas, we've got the capital to fight in all these races, and I think they're going to come out well on November 3rd. But Texas is a state we have to keep. As you know, Mark, if we lose Texas, we lose everything, and it's critical for Donald Trump to win, which he will win, but in the future, creating conservative seats in our local areas and congressionally.
Last thing, Congressman Roger Williams with us, Texas District 25. There's as I watched the Biden town hall last night and the Trump appearance on ABC and some of his continuing appearances, huge focus on the difference between how these candidates view law enforcement. You know, policing is, of course, huge in the headlines these days. How much do you think that resonates with the voting public? I know there are Democrats who don't hate cops. And I've just got to wonder what kind of mixed feelings some of those folks might be having and whether the pro-law enforcement, pro-law and order appeal of the Trump campaign might even be attracting some people who may disagree with him on a number of other issues.
I think there's no question. I think that, you know, that and the economy is what is going to win it for Donald Trump. I mean, law and order is pretty simple. We grow up in America, we have laws, we abide by that, and all of a sudden we see it being taken down by liberal people in office, mayors and so forth. You've touched on that a lot. But I think law enforcement is a huge issue. When people go to the ballot box, they're going to want to protect their property, protect their family, appreciate law enforcement. And now even fire's getting challenged, as we saw in Dallas. But I think it's a winning issue. Look, defunding the police, giving money to illegals, raising taxes is not a winning message. At the end of the day, I think Donald Trump wins Texas. He'll win nationally, and we'll have an economy November 4th that will begin to really start rolling again.
Hope so. Listen, it'll be a pleasure to talk to you between now and then and thereafter. Congressman Roger Williams, Texas 25th District. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good health to you and the family.
Thank you, Mark. God bless.
Thank you, Congressman Roger Williams. All righty, let's roll right to some calls. Got some time. 866-660-5759. Speaking of people showing up at an actual venue to hear actual music, the Oak Ridge Boys are at Arlington Music Hall a week from tomorrow. And in advance of that, Richard Sturban of the Oaks will join us at 9:35. How cool is that? Love it. All right, we are in Irving right now. Randy, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
It's Friday.
It is, it is, it is.
Enjoying your show, Mark.
Thank
but
you.
I got a couple of comments on things that you've said, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You said it's probably not good to boo during the national anthem.
Correct. If we are dissatisfied, if any there are 25,000 fans that will be in Jerry World, and if one cowboy or 12 cowboys or any cowboys go down on one knee, do not boo during the anthem, because that also disrespects the moment. So don't. So anyway, you follow me there. I trust.
Yes. All right. How about booing during the Black National Anthem?
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
All right.
Pause. First of all, I have no idea. I think that whole lift every voice and sing exercise was very week one. I don't know if that's going to happen much anymore. There is no such thing as the Black National Anthem. It is a lovely song from a century ago, and it resonates today. It's great. There is no Black National Anthem. There's no White National Anthem. There's one unifying National Anthem. Would it be a good idea? Well, first of all, it would come before the National Anthem, so we wouldn't know if kneeling was going to happen yet. But just universally, is it a good idea to boo during that song? It is not. That's just a bad look. Now, in Kansas City and Houston, the first game of the year on Thursday night of last week, after Lift Every Voice and Sing, and after this and after that, and with all kinds of stuff festooned in the end zones, they drag everybody out to the middle of the field, and we do the locking arms and the moment of silence. Oh, my gosh. And the crowd had enough. They'd flat had enough, and they booed at that time. I have no trouble with that at all. Is it because they opposed social justice, opposed racial equality, opposed police reforms? No, they had just had it up to their eyeballs. There's the word of the day, with the virtue signaling, the scolding, all the theatrics designed to make America look like a racist hellhole. Those fans had it, and I join them in their impatience.
Yes, and I join them too. And one other remark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on big techs and the mask.
So
what next? You know, is Bill de Blasio, is he going to put a mask on the Statue of Liberty?
If they could get up there, he would.
Mount Rushmore, you know?
Is any inanimate face going to be off limits for a mask-wearing PSA? Randy, thank you. For those who had not become familiar, I've got the images out there. Dallas Morning News had it. I've put it on my Twitter last night. They put up big techs at Fair Park, even though there is no state fair of Texas. And that breaks my heart. But, you know, it's kind of cool that big techs is there, right? They said, let's put him up anyway so you can see him at least. And let's have people come by in kind of a controlled way, hop out of their cars, take a selfie, take a picture of big techs, get in their car and get out of there, whatever they want to do. And I think that's pretty cool. And then somebody at some point decided that this moment of joy, this moment of clinging to something that feels real, something that feels normal, that we needed to pervert that and spoil that by putting a flipping mask on big techs and turning that whole moment of joy into a finger-wagging PSA. Look, I'm all about the awareness campaign. And if everybody from every corner wants to run 47 commercials and 33 public officials want to say, get out there, wear a mask when you can't socially distance, it's fine. But if I can't see your face at Home Depot and you can't see mine at Tom Thumb, and our entire lives are Zoom meetings and people talking in masks on, you know, even when they're on TV and stuff like that. If there are any faces that can be left alone, can they please be the inanimate objects that we love? If I can't see you and you can't see me, at least if I can't see you smile, as the old bad English song goes, at least let me see the smile on Big Tech. Oh, but no, we got to slap a big, what's that thing, the size of a bed sheet on that 55-foot Big Tech? Oh, no, we got to turn that into a stupid mask PSA, too. That's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. It was good intent. I get it. But that needed to be a one-day thing. And that thing needs to come off today. I hope that happens. 8:51, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. I got about a minute or so left in this hour. Then we're going to cruise into the 9 o'clock hour. In that big crowded District 30 race in the state Senate, the mayor of Denton is running in there. Chris Watts. We'll meet him in a second. But right now we're going to meet Tony in Ada, Oklahoma. Tony, how you doing, sir? Welcome. Happy Friday.
I'm doing really good, and I'd like to thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thanks for hanging on. I appreciate it.
You bet. Hey, I was wondering, what happened to respect? You know, when I was a kid, they taught us to stand up.
Yeah.
Face the flag, put your hand over your heart, and respect the flag, the national anthem.
Yeah.
They've been standing there swinging their arms, looking at the ground. They hadn't been any of them respecting the flag for years.
You know, it's before we even get to kneeling and, you know, flag burning in the modern era, if you go take a look at and by the way, the anthem has not always been in the NFL or other sporting events. But in the earliest stages, even in times of great controversy in America, it was kind of understood that you stood there. And you didn't necessarily have to sing it, didn't necessarily have to have hand on heart, but you weren't just sort of rocking back and forth in your own, pregame mojo, and that started to erode some years ago. Yep.
Not to mention respect for elders, respect for your parents, respect for your teachers.
Well, just even broadly, and you know what? I think you're now onto something, and maybe one of the most important societal points that could be made, Tony, and that is that, and maybe, you know what? The president's talking about this 1776 project. When we are teaching kids to respect our country more, maybe they'll respect a lot of things more. A respectable nation, a nation that deserves reverence, deserves, not that's without flaw or without sin, just as no person is without flaw or without sin, but a general atmosphere of respect, that it's not about you and your gripe of the moment. It is about showing respect to your parents, showing respect to your God, showing respect to the nation that allows you more freedom than you could possibly imagine. The loss of respect is a societal story that hopefully we can hope to improve on. Thank you, man. What a great way to end the hour. Appreciate it enormously. 8:59. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. We got great things coming to the 9 o'clock hour. Maybe you're one of them. Join us.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka says eventually everyone will face the music.
Thousands of times they have knowingly lied about the president. One day they will have to answer for it all. They will have to stand in front of their creator and justify their lies.
America First with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Weeknights at 9 on 6:60 a.m. The Answer.